And for your consideration, would like to share with you a brand new word called Christoplatonism. And if you're wondering, sounds fascinating, Friel. Why would I care? You might care because it might affect your understanding of where you're going when you die and how you will be spending that eternity. Now, I'm going to assume that most people listening right now are born-again believers. Some of you are not saved. But you can. But I'm talking about for those people who are indeed born again, their understanding of heaven might be affected by Christoplatonism. Many times in the past, we've talked about presuppositions and pre-understandings. There are presuppositions that are good. The Bible is the infallible, inerrant, inspired word of God. No mistakes. The end. I submit. I don't stand over. I submit to. And I'm not going to, that God does miracles. And he raised Jesus. Those are my suppositions. Now, I'm not changing on those, period. There are, however, pre-understandings that I bring to reading the Bible that I need to be aware of because they can goof up the way I understand the Bible. Very simple example would be this. If you grew up in a home with a lot of money, you read the Bible different than a poor person. So, for instance, a poor person might read John 10 and say, whoa, he came that I might have life and have it more abundantly. I sure could use some money, so I'm in. Well, why would they understand it that way? Because they have a pre-understanding. They have a worldview, a life experience, where they come to the Bible with certain needs, certain wants, certain desires, certain attitudes. And they impose it, they smash it into the Bible, and we all do it. It's not that pre-understandings are necessarily bad. It's that we need to be aware of them so that we get rid of them, so that we lose them, so we don't smash an understanding into Scripture. Now, is it possible that Christoplatonism has affected us in the way that we read the Bible? Friel, if you don't tell us what Christoplatonism is, I'm going to just snap. Christoplatonism is this. There was a fellow named Plato. You've heard of him, the Greek philosopher, lived a long time before Jesus. And Plato basically taught things that you can touch. Your body, evil. Spiritual things, good. And Plato believed that even the human body and the earth themselves are evil, while the soul, heaven, good. It's called Platonism. The Christian church, influenced by Platonism through the teachings of a fellow named Philo around 20 BC through 50 AD and Origen in about, well, the 3rd century, among others, came to really dig this concept that human spirits are better off without bodies and that heaven is a disembodied state. And so that concept has flourished. And maybe you have that mindset and it affects the way that you think about heaven. Because the Bible makes it clear when we go to heaven, we're going to have a new body. It's going to be different there. Food? Huh? Really? Activities? Relationships? Emotions? Feelings? Art? Could it be that it's all going to be there for our enjoyment because God's going to create a new earth? That is a radically different understanding than what a Christoplatonist would believe, who said, hey, all those physical things, they're very bad. Now, I'd like for you to hear something. This is R.C. Sproul talking about God creating the world and stating that it is very good. Now, this has a lot to do with your attitude toward heaven.
Now, when God sees...
Oh, what happened, R.C.?
...sees the fruit of his creative activity, the first thing he does then is to pronounce a benediction over his work.
It is good.
He saw that it was good. And you will hear this benediction resounding throughout God's work of creation. And the thing that's so important about that in terms of our understanding of biblical theology is that this radically separates Judeo-Christianity from Greek thought. Now, in the Greek world, the physical world is seen as being inherently imperfect. Plato, the great philosopher of the ancient world, had a philosophy called the theory of ideas, which he says that the ideas are eternal entities that exist in a spiritual realm, and they exist in a state of perfection. And any physical object in this world, Plato defined as an imperfect copy of the perfect ideal, so that matter, being an imperfect copy, is inherently evil.
Hang in there.
The Greek view of the physical body of human beings was that the body was defined as the prison house of the soul, so that redemption for the Greek was release from the body. We're redeemed from the physical. Whereas for the Christian, redemption is redemption of the body. Now, I mention this because so much of ancient religion, Oriental religion, dualism, Platonism, Greek forms of philosophy, Neoplatonism and all, had this negative view towards the physical. So that sex, for example, was seen as inherently wrong, even in marriage. The only justification for a sexual relationship in marriage, according to the Roman Catholic Church historically, was with a direct view towards procreation. Any other pleasure was a necessary evil. The reformers protested against that and saw in that view the undue influence of Neoplatonic philosophy on the Roman Church. Also in the Roman Church, you saw growing up in the Middle Ages the idea of self-flagellation, self-denial, asceticism, so that even eating food was looked upon as being somewhat questionable, and that the only real good in the world is the spiritual.